Welcome back, Survivor fans. It is episode 7 of season 24 of your favorite Island Vote Me Out extravaganza, Survivor One World. This is the Tribal Podcast. I'm your co-host, Ralph, here with Chris.
The Tribal Podcast? Have you forgotten our brand name here?
Are you kidding me? Oh, I'm so out of it. Tribal Council. Tribal Council. Spelled with an S-E-L. Just think of our Twitter handle. Sorry.
That's true. Our Twitter handle is Tribal Podcast. I actually realized that as you said it. I was like, that's our Twitter handle? Why did he say that?
Sorry. I was deathly ill for most of Monday and all of Tuesday, and I'm only now getting back on my feet, so...
Touché.
I'm allowed a little Amare bench time action.
Amare bench time?
All right, Derrick Rose bench time action, whatever you want to call it.
Amare has a bulging disc.
Derrick has an injured groin. I don't know which one would you rather have.
I don't understand how either of them are at all comparable to your situation.
I didn't feel good.
All right. I ran the Shamrock Shuffle on Sunday. My legs are still sore. What does that get me?
And what is that? Is that a half? No.
No, it's an 8K.
Okay.
It's the largest 8K in the country. To which I say, yeah, because there's no other 8Ks. Every other race is a 5K or a 10K.
Chris, let's organize the biggest 0.8K in the world.
Right. 0.8K. It'll be you and me running.
We'll go around the block and it'll be great.
And it'll be the largest one, exactly.
That's good. All right, we cut to the new Tiki Anu tribe.
Why do they always feel compelled to come up with these, like, meaningful names? Like, I can't believe I actually long for the days where they just tried to come up with the best version of a cross-pollinated name from the original two tribes. I actually long for that.
Why does one of them seem to know something about foreign
languages? I know!
Languages?
It's like... I'm gonna... if I make it on, which obviously is not gonna happen now, because I missed the... Somehow I didn't make it in the last casting round. But
and we know that was the last one.
I kind of feel like it was. I'm gonna, like, study Esperanto. And I'm gonna come up with some sort of just, like, jacked up, who knows what name, you know. I'm going to claim it means, you know, something awfully beautiful, you know, peace coming from the ocean or whatever, you know. And
it
it'll really just
means...
mean a band of idiots.
I'm sorry, you cut out there. What'd you say?
I said band of idiots.
Oh, yeah, it's the idiots part totally cut out. I apologize. All right, so, you know, we actually have a show to talk about.
That's true.
Like I said, we arrive at the new Tiki Anu Island tribe campsite. And I don't know, I guess we should start with Tarzan talking up Mike. Woo him back over as if the men side of the tribe has something more to offer than the former Solani dominant tribe would for Mike.
Yeah. It was a weird... It didn't seem like much of a conversation worth airing, but then again, this episode is pretty light. I mean, we even got the full intro sequence at the beginning of the episode. So the
Never
second that happened,
a good sign.
Exactly. The second that happened, I was like, all right, this one's going to be a dud. I mean, Mike, you know, executes normal strategy that, you know, seems to actually be, like, a rare find on this island. That is to say... He just nods his head and smiles with the guy who's trying to sell him something. He says, yeah, sure, and then he walks away and says, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want.
Again, I think we're starting to see a return to sanity. I think as much as the dullness of these episodes has been, you have to recall, you know, prior to this episode, we'd only had 6 episodes and only 4 votes.
Yeah, I was actually. So, it's funny that you say that. I thought about that myself. That we had 6 people voted off, but only 4, or 6 people gone, but only 4 of them actually voted off.
The amount of intrigue has been a third less up to this point, and it continued tonight. But I think we're shaping up for a strong finish because you see the people who are left, and aside from Tarzan, Leaf, Kat, and Christina, and maybe Mike. I think the rest of them are gonna fight. You know, I think Jay, Sabrina, Chelsea, and Kim for sure are going to have a lot to say before this thing's over.
Yeah.
And Alicia is always going to be interesting just for the drama factor. So, you know, we're shaping up for some good stuff.
You know, at first I thought, you know, Mike was talking about, you know, I know I'm going to stick with the Solani tribe, meaning... from now on, I think our convention should be, as it appears is on the show as well, that Solani refers to the shuffled Solani tribe, Manano refers to the shuffled Manano tribe.
And then there's the men and the women.
Exactly. And then you just say the men and the women when you're referring to the originals. Mike seems to think that he's going to go with Solani, and at the time I thought to myself, you know, because of all the things I've said on here on the podcast the last few weeks, you know, like... The cohesion in that group, I feel like, would be very light because they haven't had to go to any actual votes. So it seems like that might be a risk. I guess on the other hand, as we'll see, you know, as we see in the episode, you know, they do seem to want to stick together, and perhaps maybe it's the fact that they didn't go to any votes,
right?
And thus there's no, you know, there were no battle lines
built
drawn.
Up because there were no battle lines drawn. Exactly.
Yeah.
No one's left feeling like they were ever cut out of anything going into a vote there. There was no one that ended up on the wrong side of a vote. So
yeah.
There is no drama necessarily to be had.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and that's not an angle I'd thought of, but I guess that seems to be how it's playing out.
Right. All right, so cut to... I guess we get a brief glimpse of the Jonas... actual culinary skills coming into play where he prepares saltwater coconut for breakfast, which, you know, the way he described it sounded edible.
Yeah, it sounded semi-interesting. I mean, certainly if you're on the island there, I'm sure, you know, you welcome anything that's not just, you know, coconut or banana or fish,
right.
You know, so, or plantains or whatever the hell they have on the island there.
We cut to the reward challenge, and I like it when they do split whoever's left into arbitrary teams, just because it does give an opportunity for people to break off differently than what we've seen.
Yeah. You know what I thought was funny, though, is that normally when they do this, Propst just refers to them as teams, but he kept referring to them as tribes during this.
Right. That was
which
weird.
I thought was really weird. Like, I felt like this was a complete admission that we ended up merging them earlier than we'd planned, and this would have just been a regular old tribal... reward challenge, but we merged them earlier than planned because, you know, Manano was getting their butts kicked, so we had to shake things up.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, like, all the notes that Jeff had were tribe this, tribe that. He just forgot to, like...
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was just really weird, you know?
The production staff's getting lazy.
Yeah, they are.
What's going on down there?
Jeff, 24 seasons in, Jeff's mailing it in now.
Yeah, when you spend 8 years in Samoa, people start to know where to go and to hang out. So there's like, you know, no one's like,
it's true, man.
No
they
one's
got their
staying
hangouts.
In. No one's staying in at the production camp anymore. They're all going out. They all know
exactly. They're going to the Survivor style ice cream hut. They're going to. They're hanging out at all of the haunts they've built all over the last several seasons now.
Mm. So we have on one side the orange team of Alicia, Jay, Saab, Chelsea, Troy, and Christina, Leaf, Cat, Mike, Kim, Jonas, and Tarzan in blue, and the blue team sends Leaf out to be their lead digger.
Yeah,
thought it would work?
I thought it would actually be a good idea.
You're sending the guy out with the smallest hands, right? You got to move a volume of sand.
I didn't think about that.
You got to move a volume of sand. And it's not like his head is any smaller. No, he's got small hands.
Oh, okay.
His head is approximately the same size. Right. Everything else is smaller. I shouldn't say that. I don't know about what he's got going on.
All right, easy, Ralph.
But he definitely has smaller hands. So... I think you send Mike out, if only because he's really slender and he's got probably big hands. So
yeah, I thought the Leaf thing might work out because he's so small that he might be able to get through easier,
just
and it might help
lengthy.
Build the lead. Yeah, I mean, I guess now that I think about it, you know, your length doesn't really matter a whole lot.
You still need a big hole to get your head through.
What's that?
Still need a big hole to get your head through.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I for some reason just felt like I was thinking that, you know, his lack of length might make it easier for him to slip through and at least build a lead that's, you know, gives them some sort of psychological advantage.
Well, that's what I wonder. I wonder if Mike and Kat had gone first that really would have put them out front, and I think maybe a psychological edge could have been had, but
perhaps.
I felt like Blue was always scrambling from behind, and that may have, you know, maybe put the pressure on Jonas and Tarzan to really close well.
I thought Tarzan was an odd choice to put on the puzzle, although ultimately I guess it's more of a, like, he's probably not going to be great at the race part.
Right. Digging through sand, an old man.
An old man digging through sand, doing an army crawl, you know, getting himself under a fence, not great.
No.
But I just thought, you know, he seems like such a scatterbrain to me that putting him on a puzzle, you know, it's like putting a little baby, you know, in front of a puzzle and then putting like 80 shiny things right around them and seeing if they can do anything with the puzzle.
But again, your opinion of him is based on how he's put in this environment, which, again, he talked about later on in Tribal that, like, this is not his environment. So,
that's true.
You know, any guy who's spent as much of his life as he has in a setting in which he's been clearly established as the guy calling the shots.
In control.
You've got, you know, the very picture of fish out of water going on.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like CBS duped us with how they edited the puzzle. I feel like we were made to believe that Jonas and Tarzan were going to
close. Oh, I didn't think so. The second Jeff started saying, like, oh, we're three pieces away, I'm like, Orange is winning, no doubt. Because he keeps saying they're three pieces away, and every shot they cut to of the Blue doesn't have three pieces missing. It has, seven.
Correct. Yeah. I allow myself to be duped because I want to believe that there could be this come from behind effort. But, you know, why weren't the girls on the Blue team cheating for the guys in Blue? You know, why didn't they resort to the old tricks? Where was Kat and Kim peeking over at what the other team was doing?
It seemed like it wasn't the kind of puzzle you could cheat on easily because all of the pieces were just so similarly shaped.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like you could look at it and be like, oh, that piece goes there. You look back at yours and you're like, I don't even know which piece that is over there.
That's a good point.
The only ones that had that distinct shape were the ones that were easy to set, the ones around the edge, I think.
The limbs and the head.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So, you know, reward is Survivor-style pizzeria and Survivor-style beer.
Survivor? He didn't say Survivor-style this time. It's just pizza and beer. No, because it was just pizza and beer.
It was horrible pizza and beer. Whatever happened, like... Didn't they used to get, like, Coors Light and, like, you know, Pizza Hut Pizzeria? It was terrible-looking pizza. Like, that was definitely,
it didn't
like...
look great. And then you had Sabrina, who's from New York.
Crap in the oven pizza.
Well, yeah, and then Sabrina, who's from New York, mentions how she knows pizza and then just basically says, but at this point, I'll take anything I can get. Right. Like...
The way they were describing it definitely didn't sound good. It was like, they could have served, like, fried rat and it would have been good. And, like,
right, that's what he said. They said, I'll take skunk at this point.
Clearly, this is not good pizza.
Yeah. Again, once again, like you pointed out, like, where's the sponsorship here?
This is not
good. I mean, heck...
Why aren't they taking Sprint 3D photos of them eating pizza and beer?
At the very least, you could get Home Run In to kick in, like, $30 or something just to sponsor.
I think it's a Chicago brand.
Is Home Run In a Chicago brand?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, you get them... They'll throw you $1,000 or something. Mm-hmm. I mean... You take the money you can get. They're happy to have the product placement, and it's not unnatural. That's the thing. It's like that doesn't feel unnatural if it's just there and they stick a box next to the little thing, the little table they're sitting at. You know that it's not like Sprint where it's like, you know, or actually even those aren't even that bad. It's the movies.
No, they're not that bad.
The movies are the bad
movies
ones.
That bad.
It's like, oh, I really liked Gulliver's Travels.
Man, I've been waiting for Jack Black to come back.
Yeah, I really like everything Jack Black does, but this was the best he's ever done.
Man, Adam Sandler played both leading roles in this movie.
The 10 or so people that saw that movie at Survivor may have been the only 10 people who saw that.
Chris, you're not giving enough credit to the idea of the lowest common denominator in this country, okay?
Oh,
remember, this is America.
I can't remember. There was a movie I saw recently, it might have been Jack and Jill, that got a zero on Rotten Tomatoes. A zero. I mean, that's hard to come by. A zero. As you're pointing out, the lowest common denominator, it's low. Like, there's not a high bar to hit just to get somebody to like.
No, there's not.
Zero.
No, there's not. Yeah. Someone's been waiting for that movie. Oh, boy. All right, so we come back, and probably my favorite point of the whole episode was the completely nonsensical battle between Jonas and Tarzan.
Well, I thought you were going to say something else. Mike is showing a little bit of chops here.
Okay. Mike showed his chops when he ratted out Leaf, you know? When he ratted out Leaf to Colton, you know, he showed that he's got a backbone, that he's not just invisible.
I guess. But this was great, I thought. I mean, he starts talking to Jonas. Jonas doesn't know what's going on, and he just needles it perfectly. Like, he doesn't needle it screwed kind of way. Like, he needles it just, like, that's the sort of thing he should probably talk to you about, right?
Man,
and Jonas Jonas just takes the bait and starts in the downward spiral, like, right off the bat there. Oh, what is this, huh? Why isn't he talking to me? Tarzan, this is the thing we gotta keep. This is the thing I can't stand about Tarzan. Tarzan's a loose cannon. He goes and talks to anybody he wants. Like, it was great. And Mike just set it all up, lined up all the dominoes, knocked over the first one, and the whole thing started falling.
He goes to clean up the wreckage. What are you guys fighting about?
That was the greatest. That was great. What's going on, guys? That was fantastic.
I couldn't possibly imagine what we're talking about.
Exactly.
That's so good. Okay, so, as much as this show kind of
who started
dragged,
this fire, guys? What's going on? Jeez. It's pretty awful that you guys are fighting about this. I wonder why.
A little tense around here.
Yeah.
Man.
If you guys would just talk to each other, it'd be so much nicer around camp. Jeez.
Anyways, this was a pretty weak fight. I mean, you had two guys who are in poor positions of power to begin with.
Yeah.
Just battling over what tiny amount of beans they have left to fight over.
Mm-hmm.
And it was comical, almost, to me. And great lines like Tarzan saying, "You are such a confused asshole." I mean, so good. Really, really good.
Why is that so good?
Just the way it comes out of him, you know, and it's like, again, you're talking about, like, two people who have no power, and they're grappling for something that doesn't exist, and I just enjoyed
Tarzan must just really be, really just feel totally at a loss not having power. I think that's, because he just snaps. Like, anytime anything happens that is just remotely does not fit his view of the world, like, he snaps and he goes up. It's like, I disrespect that. Hard feelings towards you. You know, it's just like, anything that happens, it's like he has to put his foot down, and he suddenly, only to realize, he puts his foot down and nobody seems to notice anyway.
I've always said, Chris, I can't wait to grow older, because then you can just do whatever the hell you want, because you stop caring what people think. You know what? True. I'm going to die soon, so I'm going to go out the way I want. You know what? Screw you.
That's true. It's true. Old people just,
they
you
stop
know,
caring.
You stop
matter.
Caring, because you're at a point in your life where you got enough friends, and the people who, you know, if people are going to dislike you for what you say,
then
who
so
cares?
Be it. Hey, sirrah, sirrah.
Exactly.
So he busts out this line. He's like, I can't be around him anymore. I can't look at that face anymore, which struck me in a couple of ways. That line, I can't look at his face anymore. One, Colton started this thing where it's like, oh, I hate him. I can't look at his face. And it's like this thing this season with people not being able to deal with people's faces. Right?
Okay.
Has it not been a common thread? It's like,
do you think this is like a cross promotional thing from that 60 Minutes episode from last week about the
facial transplant? Well, see, that's what I'm saying. We connect that too to he's got this facial aphasia. He can't connect the faces, right?
Yep.
And three, he's a plastic.
No,
surgeon.
He has a name aphasia, not a facial aphasia. I think he recognizes people just fine. He just doesn't know.
Right. We're thinking. You're telling me about Matt Mills has the facial aphasia. Right?
He's got the propopagnosia or whatever it's called.
And if he doesn't like his face, he's a plastic surgeon. He should just change it, and then he doesn't have to look
right.
the face that he hates anymore.
Right. Again, he doesn't have control over it like he normally does.
Right. All right. So are we past this? I think we're past this.
Yeah, I'm just amazed by how quickly they went off on each other. It just made no sense. Like,
yeah, no,
you guys
clearly illogical.
Need each other so badly.
Right.
And
right. There was no power play to be had.
And then when they make up later on, like, they make up, they decide, what did they decide? They decided they're going to vote for Kat?
Yes.
And the best part is like, they seem to be aware that they don't have enough people, right, but they're okay with it.
Yes.
This made no sense. Made no sense. It was the strangest thing. Like,
there was no planning. Like, well, who do we think we can get to vote for Kat?
Right.
Like,
was like, you know, it wasn't even like they made the decision on like, I'm not gonna scramble. It was like they realized they didn't have enough people, but like they thought that was okay. Like, someone might just decide to vote with them or something.
This isn't like the Supreme Court where someone needs to write the minority decision. You know, or like the dissenting voice.
Right.
You know, on the other side of the issue. Like, we don't need that. That doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could have no votes for her, you could have four. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
But they didn't have four, they had three.
I jumped ahead, though, sorry. We skipped over the immunity challenge.
Oh, whatever.
Sorry.
All right, you know, again, we have another two-minute voyage for a hidden immunity idol. Someone wishes for it, sets foot away from the camp, and trips over it.
I mean, at this point, they might as well just insert you into the game with everybody with a hidden immunity idol. Like, it's just too easy. Like, they literally aren't even giving clues anymore. They're just saying, there is one. The only clue they give is existence. That's the clue. There is such a thing as a hidden immunity idol.
And in the past, people haven't even had to know that it exists for them to find it.
Right.
What's her name? The couple seasons, even two, it was two seasons ago. On Redemption Island, it was the one of the teachers. She found it early on.
I don't remember.
It was the season with Ozzy. She like just went looking for it and she
that
found
was
it.
Last season.
Yeah, the previous season. Isn't that okay. Wasn't that the case? I'm pretty sure she found one. She had it early.
I don't even remember who had it in that season.
There have been immunity idols found without
it
even
was Ozzy,
the awareness.
And then it was,
of
oh yeah, it was the other one. It was So it was the one on the other tribe. No,
yeah.
No. What's his name had it?
Regardless, there was a woman who went out looking for it without being told that it needed to be found and found it.
Oh.
So, again, a note doesn't even need to be sent.
Yeah,
put them on the island.
They need to do something about it.
They need to be finding it in the interview process. And if you don't find it there,
exactly.
You can't have it.
Exactly. We have hidden an immunity idol in your luggage. As you're leaving to fly to Samoa.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I do like that Troy's made it his theme that he bangs on things and says, my island. Like, I think that's a good catchphrase.
It's entertaining, but he needs to watch himself. I actually made that note. Like, he celebrated...
the team win.
Is vociferously the right word?
Vociferously?
I don't think I know what vociferously means.
In a loud voice?
Oh, okay. Yeah, then good. Yeah, he celebrated vociferously after the reward challenge with his My Island chant and pound or whatever. And then he got, like it's okay to give your, you know, your one fist pump or your, you know, your one hand in the air. But he did it, like, three or four times. He was making a big deal. He's got to watch himself because he's going to get he's going to quickly get a reputation as being cocky about this stuff, and people are not going to want him around. Of course, on the other hand, whether or not you want somebody around really seems to have nothing to do with whether or not you actually vote that person out. So, I guess it doesn't really matter.
No, I think you're overblowing this one. I think his personality is kind of laid back in general. So, I think everyone kind of sees it what it is. It's just him trying to pump himself up, and I'm totally in favor of it, just because I like seeing people like trying to like keep themselves in the game, just because we see a lot of people just kind of being downers about the whole thing.
It's definitely entertaining. I mean, I enjoy that, but I think it could be bad news for him.
Okay, so we'll stand on opposite sides of that issue.
Indeed.
Alright, so we come to the immunity challenge. It's a replay of one we've seen before.
Two seasons ago, yep.
A perch, a ball, a few balls in a tray, and they have to lock their arm in and keep the balls from falling off. Tarzan goes with a stiff breeze.
Yeah.
And during the second round, they cut to an image of a guy wearing those, like, foot gloves?
The glove shoes, yeah. I think it's Tarzan.
It was Tarzan.
No, not Tarzan.
Troyzan. It was Troyzan. Yeah. I was like, I put advantage? And lo and behold, he takes it home. And I think...
Oh, I'm definitely buying a pair of those if I
yeah, the fact that his foot can kind of wrap a little bit more and, like, mm-hmm. be a little more flexible on that perch.
But at the same time, having some support, having...
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ozzy, I believe, was wearing those last season.
Yeah. No, it's a total advantage.
I definitely noticed those and thought to myself, if I ever go there, I am definitely buying a pair of those to bring, because it's... The best of, I think it's the best of both worlds.
I think that's the story of the challenge, you know?
the five fingers shoes, that's what they're called.
I think the only other thing you can argue about this challenge is the advantage of having the tray resting on your forearm versus not having it rest on your forearm. I think clearly having it rest on your forearm is better than not.
Really? Because didn't Jay have it on off of his forearm?
Yeah, but he didn't last as long as... But are you talking about...
Jay was like... A statue up there, like his balls stayed together. It was, I was certain he was going to end up in the final two, and then he got knocked. He lost his balance instead of the. It wasn't the balls he lost. He lost his balance.
Do you remember Mike the Tool, the Marine?
Yeah, I do. Guy? He was a statue.
Right. He had his arm locked against his body. He had the tray like right there, yeah. balanced on his forearm and his arm and his hand. That's totally the way to do it. You throw that... see, I'm doing it to you in Skype. You throw that elbow into the side. Yeah. You put the tray there.
Oh, yeah, you lock it. I definitely agree. I just...
And if she had those
toe shoes... I thought for sure Jay was going to pull it out. And then I thought Kat was going to pull it out.
Right. And the only reason she failed is because she fell over. She didn't lose the tray.
That's true.
She just fell over. So, yeah. Toe shoes.
Foot gloves. It's the five-finger shoes.
Foot gloves.
What I want to know is, how did Mike manage to get balls rolling in opposite directions when he got knocked out?
It's a skill.
I think that's a trick right there, to get your balls...
Lose them on both sides, yeah. That's
like,
a trick.
I don't know how you pull that off. What was the other thing? I forget. Oh, and of course, the other thing this challenge brought us was, you know, multiple moments of Jeff saying to everybody, okay, grab your balls. It's great.
And the slam dunk, Troy's balls haven't moved in a long time.
Yes, and that one actually got a rise out of Troy, no pun intended.
Well done.
What's left here to talk about? Not a whole lot.
No, scramble time? That's what I have next.
Yeah, the pseudo-scramble. I mean, I was surprised that the new, like I said before, I was surprised that Solani was sticking together.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
The decision makers have moved from Kim and Chelsea to Kim and Jay.
Yeah, that's true.
Jay has
ascended to a position of power here.
Yeah, I definitely feel like Chelsea is third wheel.
I mean, maybe in the power, but that doesn't mean that Kim is going to be show more loyalty to Jay than to Chelsea.
Yeah, and we were teased that in the next.
But I do feel like it was funny because I don't get why Jay was so adamant about them getting out. Like, I didn't get the case for getting Jonas out. Like, you know, they wanted to get rid of him because he's, like, the biggest threat amongst them in challenges and stuff. And I'm like, hello, land of the blind here. Like, Jonas is the biggest threat amongst four people who are not remotely threats in general. Like, pick whoever you want. Like, I mean, in general, you have to be wise about
likeable.
What you're doing.
He's likable.
He is, but you had 12 people left.
He's still likable. He had to go at some point.
Right, but the four of which, that's the thing, though, is you're going to vote out all four or five of those people. So who cares what the order is? You might as well do it in an order that makes camp life more enjoyable, you know?
That's the counter-argument. The counter-argument is, you know, you vote out the guy who could earn more votes on the jury if he ever got there, which he can't. Versus having the guy there who will make your life less miserable and actually more enjoyable.
And there's something to be said for bringing people with you that are actually likable on the at the end. You know, there's something to be said for the, like, quote-unquote honorable decision-making in terms of who you vote out. You know, because it's worked in the past. It worked in, I remember, Amazon. when Jenna Marasco won, she was left. This was back when they still went to two people, and she
See, that's
was
a different
her,
play. That's a different play. I feel like with three people, you know, you
that's
gotta
true.
Be careful. You gotta.
That's
be
true.
You're not bringing up a recommendation from a recent season. I think that's for a reason. I think people want to find someone they can stomach. You know, that's why obviously why.
That's sort of the funny thing about it all, though, is that, like, in theory, this is the argument, you know, making the finale be amongst three people instead of amongst two people should actually increase the way people, force people to vote more on merits than on voting against somebody else. You know, this is the argument for... this is the argument against the two-party system, you know, in politics. The two-party system ends up making it so that when you vote, a lot of people end up voting for what they view as the lesser of two evils instead of voting for
you're voting
who they
for not
want.
This guy, yeah.
When you have more than two options, it forces campaigns to be positive, more positively focused in terms of building yourself up. Instead of cutting the other guy down, because if you try to do that, then you have multiple people you have to go cut down. So it's obviously then just easier to just build yourself up. Whereas in a two-person, you know, it can get negative quickly. But I think it's funny that, you know, sort of opposed to that, the opposite has happened here, where you make three people. I guess that's, I don't know, I mean, when you have three people, I would think, you know, make it more about your own case, and then... you know, force people to vote that way, but it seems to not be working that way. You know, it seems to be working with, like, get people around me that make me look good instead of just making myself look good.
And again, I think people want to award the money to someone they can, you know, feel all right about at the end of the day having that money. And that seems to be the direction things are going in. You know, what's his name? The guy who looked like the cover of romance novels, Fabio.
Oh, Fabio, yeah.
Totally likable. You know, totally likable. And he won his way to the end, and everyone's like, good for you, you're awesome. You know, here's the money. And it's not like he ran the game. You know, he didn't have any tactical control over who went where, but, you know, he found his way there. And he was so likable, and he won. And same thing with the girl from last season. You know, she was utterly significantly more likable than who she was sitting with at the end.
Yeah. That's true. Is there really much else to talk about here?
We're kind of stringing it along, but you know, I think ultimately, you know, we're going to see the weaker men picked off. Very quickly here.
I should say there was one thing I wanted to mention. I thought Jonas took an interesting tactic by trying to just stage the coup right at Tribal Council. His only problem was he targeted the wrong person. You know, he targeted somebody in the powered alliance, you know? Whereas, had he targeted Tarzan instead of Mike and said, Tarzan's who I'm going to vote for, people might have actually gone along with him because that's where they were already kind of thinking about, you know?
Yeah, but how often does that work? And I think Jay really showed his hand this time by saying, you know what, when we start changing course this close to the vote, things go bad. And...
true.
I thought that was a really sharp play.
He's correct about that, because in that the thing that can go wrong is there's miscommunication because you have to get the word out to everybody. The thing that made no sense about that was everybody was literally sitting right there. You know, they were sitting out on the beach, and it was him and Kim and Chelsea and Mike and Troy and whoever the heck else is left. Like, they were literally all there. There was like. Nothing's going to go wrong if you change your mind right there when you have all six or seven people sitting there. It was a good point made in the wrong situation.
I thought the intention was right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like it's an accurate statement. It just doesn't apply in this situation, I think. Mm. Like, if they wanted to vote Tarzan out, they could have voted Tarzan out. I mean, Mike got two votes. Like, Leaf, once again, has got his head up his butt. And, you know, can't even sense which way the wind is blowing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
What?
That's a reference. I get it. I'll accept it.
What?
To the pun I made last week.
Oh, yeah.
About the leaf blowing with the wind.
Yes, exactly.
All right, Chris.
Well, that's the funny thing is he can't, whatever way the wind blows, and he can't, and Leaf can't even go with whatever way the wind blows because he doesn't know which way it's blowing.
Yeah, make like a drum and Leaf. The analogies get mixed.
Yes.
All right, Chris. I think we've said our piece.
We successfully wasted
the better part of 35 minutes of your time. All right, so if you want to find us online, Chris.
Yes, you can find us online on Twitter. The handle is Tribal Podcast. You can email us. The email address is podcast@tc.vanb.net. And you can find our feed online, although you probably already know where it is because you're listening to us. But that's tc.vanb.net.
And a quick shout out to my sister, who has now who has modern technology now. She has an iPhone, so she has a method now with which to listen to our podcast on the go.
Okay.
She celebrated her 29th birthday, wink wink, a couple weekends ago with her husband, and I just want to give a quick shout out. And
I'm so done. I'm so done with that. I'm so done with 29th birthdays, wink winks. That stuff drives me nuts. It's like. It's like people saying "don't go there" now. You know, like, come on, we're really using that phrase still.
Or "go girl," is "go girl"
TMI
not good anymore?
And come on.
Okay, that's enough. All right, until next week. Thanks for listening.
All right.